Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
All right. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is episode 12, 11? I believe.
12? Nope, yeah, 12.
It's 12, I think.
No.
All right.
Is it? Oh, yeah, it's 12.
Yeah,
we're getting 12. So high up there that we don't even know anymore.
God, we've been doing this forever.
In double digits.
We are so high on the podcast. joining me today are my good friend Zach.
Hey.
Hey, Zach.
What's up?
And my good friend Seth. What's up, Seth?
Hello.
All right. We've got... I don't want to tip anything here, but kind of a crazy one today.
Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
We did, Seth is going to be faking for us, the movie Witches of Eastwick.
Right.
I believe 2 weeks ago, was it you, Seth, or was it you, Zach, who said, if we do another fucking Jack Nicholson movie, I'm going to quit?
That was Zach.
That was me. Yep. And here we are. Well, I can't quit you fucks. Yeah.
Yeah. Guess who one of the stars of this movie is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Before we dive in, Seth, why don't you let everyone know what information we gave you about this movie?
Okay, so I got information at a couple of levels, which is rare for us.
Mm.
So I got lead actors, which are, well, first off, we have The Witches of Eastwick, right? And so lead actors are Michelle Pfeiffer, Cher, Susan Sarandon, and our beloved Jack Nicholson.
Mm.
Wait, who was the second person you mentioned?
It was a wonderful pop star by the name of Cher.
Gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
We're hearing from the people of the streets that call us.
Do you believe in life after death?
Yep, okay. All we're right. Going to do a lot of Cher singing.
Yeah, that's the first of many, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we should point out that it definitely comes from a place of love. I actually kind of enjoy Cher.
I very much enjoy Cher.
As a musician, yeah. And she is a true gem in this movie. Just lovely, yeah.
Like, I always just doubt that Cher was a good actress until I watch everything Cher was in.
Yeah. Oh, she was in what?
Spoilers, guys. Spoilers.
I mean, she's terrible in this. Was she in, what was the Nick Cage one? Moonstruck? Was that the one?
Moonstruck.
God, yeah. Good one. Real good performance in that.
So, I had the actors you gave me, actors and actresses you gave me were Michelle Pfeiffer, Cher, Susan Sarandon, and Jack Nicholson. You also told me that the director was George Miller. You know, George Miller, famous for all of the Mad Max movies, and also, I believe, Babe, Pig in the City?
Correct.
Yes. Also Happy Feet.
Oh, also yeah. Happy Feet, apparently.
And that's, honestly, that's about it. Like, his CV is very weird, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, the only other information y'all gave me was it was adapted from a novel by John Updike.
Mm-hmm.
Which... So, I don't know why you guys decided to give me that information, but you knew my, like, literary background was not going to let that pass unnoticed. Though, like, it doesn't...
Which is why I told you.
I think also, everything I looked up about this movie, that fact features prominently. Mm-hmm. Like, they really want you to know that for whatever
reason. They made... Yeah. There was a lot of Updike adaptations in the 80s.
Really? Sure. Like, what else?
Fucking World According to Garp.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah.
I think Escape from New York was probably one.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. A couple of the Lethal Weapons. Yeah.
Heat, obviously. Very emblematic of that middle America sensibility.
Yep.
Was not the 80s, but Cider House Rules is an Updike too, right?
Oh, sure.
Is it? Huh.
I believe it is.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
It's set in New England, so...
Okay, but not all of his stuff was set in New England.
Was some of it set in Southern Connecticut?
No, that's not New England anymore.
The Alabama of New England.
That was the joke. It may as well soon be.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Okay. So, that's the information you gave me. So, we'll now talk about my awesome movie.
Excellent.
So, the titular witches are Michelle Pfeiffer, Cher, and Susan Sarandon. Are
so
actually,
far, so good.
they are branded witches by Jack Nicholson, but they're really just these early 20th century extremely competent scientists.
I knew they were going to be scientists.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, awesome. So, like, it's in the vein of, like, how Tesla was the wizard of Menlo Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the witches of Eastwick in the same regard.
So When does this take place, then? Is this, like, when...
Well, according to the invention that they're going to make, it'll have to be in the 20s.
Okay.
All right.
Plausibly still science as witchcraft. That's totally fair.
Well, branded as witches by, like, a misogynistic asshole.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess we're still doing this today, honestly. But yeah.
Unfortunately.
The Edison figure of this movie, so to speak.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So, our ladies are metallurgists, and somewhere near the beginning, they invent a thing called aerogel, and I don't know if you guys know what aerogel is.
I very do, yes.
Yeah, so aerogel was invented in 1921.
Really?
Yeah, right? Isn't that fascinating?
Ooh, I thought it was, like, in the last 20 years?
Nope. So, okay. Aerogel is when you take a gel and you, you remove the liquid and you replace it with gas, so it becomes this incredibly great insulator.
Yep.
And
I'm glad that you explained what it is for our listeners and not me at all.
Yep. Yep, for the listeners. So, these ladies are metallurgists, and also, like, certain techniques of aluminum metallurgy, like chemical aluminum welding, were also invented in the 20s.
We aren't going to end up at are we?
Oh, God. I wish, but no. Unfortunately, no, not this time.
Good.
Maybe in the future, though.
Okay, you have to bleep that out, Zach, because we can't. We need to protect that movie.
A keyboard. How quaint.
Hello, computer.
Okay, enough of my favorite movie of all time.
A series of jokes for no one.
Yep. So our witches invent aerogel, and then that allows them to do this metallurgy at super high temperatures. And, of course, Jack Nicholson is a rival scientist/inventor, and he's like, there's no way they could survive temperatures this hot. And he's like, that kind of metallurgy is impossible. And so he, like, starts a slur campaign, and, of course, he doesn't know aerogel exists. And over the course of the movie, he figures it out.
Yeah.
But he starts a slur campaign, and that's how they get branded as the Witches of Eastwick. Which,
okay.
I presume, as is the Updike style, it's somewhere in Middle America, and they're just kind of some kind of shitty small town is Eastwick, right?
Sure.
I'll throw that one at you. It is definitely a shitty small town.
All right.
Yes. Well, I guess so. This, and also, like, in the 20s, female scientists would have been... Oof.
Right. And so he's like, how could women possibly be doing competent science?
Anything ever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which, yeah. You know, is, not great.
Yep.
We also, I added an actress, and I didn't mention it at the beginning, but Jack Nicholson has a daughter who is Christina Ricci.
Oh!
Oh, Little Mermaid's cross-pollination here.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, Mermaids was Cher and Christina Ricci, right?
Oh, you said The Little Mermaid, and I thought you meant the Disney.
Oh, yeah. I meant there's a little bit of cross-pollination with the movie Mermaids.
Got it.
Okay,
gotcha.
Well, that was a weird way to say that.
Well, fuck you, too.
So, we have whatever middle area of the movie, as is our style. I'm going to skip to the end. But the middle is, like, the witches creating a series of inventions and new fascinating combinations of metals and welding and whatnot, and Jack Nicholson being so frustrated and angry at them. And then it turns out that Jack Nicholson's daughter, Christina Ricci, has been apprenticing with the witches this entire time.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Good role models, yeah. Yeah.
And so Jack Nicholson is just getting furious. He's just like crazy about doing all these experiments with his metallurgy to try to outproduce the witches.
Yeah.
And so he has all of this equipment, and we find out that Christina Ricci has been using all of the equipment unsupervised, and she starts a fire.
Ooh.
A lot of our movies have fires in them.
Yeah, well, actually, at this point, I have two endings. And we can awesome. We can choose which one's better. One is that Christina Ricci starts the fire, and Jack Nicholson has to go to the witches to get aerogel from them and, like, elicit their help in order to, like, save his daughter, right?
Yep, sure. Yep, yep. Perfect.
Right.
Great one. Yep.
And the,
we gotta humble that asshole.
And then the other one is Jack Nicholson, like, goes way too hard and starts a fire himself, and then Christina Ricci has to use said aerogel to save Jack Nicholson. Even though he will probably die at the end, just because I kind of want him to die.
I like that one a lot better.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed that he didn't die in either or both of those. But yeah, it makes for a better movie, probably. Yeah, yeah.
I like the version where Christina Ricci gets to be, like, less passive in the situation.
Yeah, sure. Seems sure. Good. And at the end, like, while Jack Nicholson's burnt body is...
Go on,
Darth Vadering its way around.
Yeah.
He is like, oh no, those ladies were so great, and I shouldn't have been so horrible, because this is actually a really great invention, etc., etc.
Yeah. So the classic come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Except it's come to science.
Sure. Well, you done it. Beautiful. Yeah.
So that's my Witches of Eastwick. It follows a pretty predictable pattern and plot, but it seems good to me.
Yeah. No, that is good. So in Ep 10, subtitle Nightmare App, you had one of yours that was very science based, and I think we all talked about, like, shit, there's not enough movies about science, and, like, this is a really
good
guys
definitely
mix.
Thought that.
Oh, well.
Okay, Lee.
No, that's a really good mix of, like, science but sort of mass appeal, like, very watchable. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
So cool. That's my version. What in the hell did you guys watch?
Okay, I've got the one sentence description pulled up. I'll read it here.
Sure.
Three single women in a picturesque village have their wishes granted at a cost when a mysterious and flamboyant man arrives in their lives.
Cool.
That really doesn't give away what's going on in this
movie. Yeah, that does no justice to the actual movie.
So going in, I actually was under the impression, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, that Jack Nicholson was the devil. Okay.
Yep.
That's the only information I had, and so, or the only, like, inkling about this movie that I had.
Yeah. So Lee and I talked about this. The only way that Jack Nicholson is at all tolerable in a movie is if we acknowledge that he, the human being, is the devil.
Okay.
And we just lean into it. And he is tolerable.
It was
fine.
If not the literal devil, he is a literal devil.
Yeah. Yep.
As a side note, again, my neighbor is mowing the lawn. So
right on schedule.
If that
I actually
picks
don't
up,
hear it this time, but yeah.
Well, you will. As soon as he, like, comes closer to my window. Anyway, well, let's continue on, shall we?
Yeah, so Zach, do you wanna jump in and bring up some of the things that we texted each other about when watching this?
Absolutely. Yeah, so Lee, I watched this before Lee, and Lee sort of live tweeted it to me, which I got all in one giant chunk the day after.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like full sentences. It's just things. Mm-hmm. So it was like butt grab, cherry pits, literal devil, this principle. Like, it's just nouns mostly. And like, so, I knew what you were getting at every single time. I was like, oh yeah, that sucked. Oh yeah, that was rough. Yeah, that's rough too.
So should we do like a quick, I feel like we need to do a quick like run through of the plot for any of this to make sense.
I would love a plot summary.
Yeah, I think it's pretty quick. So like, they're all not widows, but they all lost their husbands somehow.
Well, one of them is Cher is a widow.
Cher is a widow, yeah. And they're all sort of like sassy ladies, and a couple of them have kids. Well, Michelle Pfeiffer is notoriously fertile.
Wait. First off, would either of you guys say that Cher perhaps believes in life after love?
Boy, does she.
Oh, God, boy, yeah, she so does.
Does she?
I
was just going to say I'll auto-tune it, but Lee, like, did it with his voice. Yeah.
They're all on the doorstep of middle age, I guess.
For sure.
Okay.
Newly or relatively newly single.
Yep.
Living in a shitty small town, which I assumed was New England, because they talked about like witch trials in the past.
I looked it up. I think it's supposed to be Rhode Island. Yeah.
I was gonna say it seems really like Lovecrafty, where like you have these random like Ipswich and
Yep.
Very, very like New England-y names. So it didn't terribly surprise me. It took place in New England.
Yeah. And I think they're all artists. So. Mm-hmm. Cher is a sculptrix.
A lot of full-figured lady sculptures coming out of Cher. Yeah.
Okay.
Sarandon is a cellist, and she also teaches, she gives music lessons. And Michelle Pfeiffer writes for the local paper, and they all kind of feel like they should be getting more out of life, both through their vocation and sexually.
Okay.
Let's say mostly sexually, yes.
Is that why you guys gave me this one?
No, I'm glad we did.
Yeah, no, it worked, yeah.
Okay.
I had seen it a long time ago. I didn't remember much about it.
Okay. Yeah. So the main thing here is they have this power that they do not know of at the time, where if they sort of will a thing, it happens.
Oh.
And so it's a classic
witchcraft thing. It's the powers in the words and making them real.
Right, but they don't know that they're witches at the time of the conjuring of Jack Nicholson.
Just like linguistics, the power of words makes things real.
Yes.
Well, at least my brand scientific. Of linguistics. So,
right. Sure. I want to go on record that this podcast says fuck Noam Chomsky.
Yeah. Fuck Noam Chomsky.
Fuck you guys. God damn it.
You have no idea.
I'm a big Chomsky fan, but I don't do linguistics.
We're
going to
fight this
thing,
out in a little bit, but anyway,
so they conjure God, they
we're
conjure
have to
Jack
edit the
Nicholson.
Fuck out of this one.
Yeah. They conjure
Jack
Nicholson.
I say no. Just go.
Oh, obviously, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, they conjure Jack Nicholson,
whose name in the movie, and I gotta see what you guys think about this, because this is where my brain went when watching it. His name is Daryl Van Horn, which in my head I'm thinking like it sounds like Devil Horn, but it's Jack Nicholson, so maybe it's a play on horny devil.
It sounds like a... Like
and he
a,
calls himself a horny devil?
Yeah, he does. That's true. It sounds like a baseball player crossed with an oil magnate, mostly, I would say.
He's the home run hittinest Van Horn Knickerbocker on the planet.
Yeah. Right, so I guess let's not skip over. They're all like sitting around in somebody's house
talking about Cher's house.
Mm-hmm. Talking about what their ideal
man would be. Is on a dock. It's like a houseboat that's permanently docked.
Yeah. Very New England or Floridian, unclear.
Well,
yeah.
It kind of defeats the purpose of a houseboat, but all right, let's keep going.
Yeah. So they spend about 5 minutes talking about their ideal man, about three of which is talking about dick size, shape, and general aura, I would say.
Aura. Oh, fascinating.
Dick aura.
Yeah, no, literally more than half is like, I mean, long, but not too long. And like, yeah, it's, oh, it's,
We've all been there.
I've never prided myself on dick size, but I do pride myself on dick aura.
Yeah, it's got an orangey glow to it, I'll say.
Yep.
Maybe my laughing will cover up that wine pour sound.
It goes without saying, this movie is incredibly sexual. It's from start to finish. It's
definitely grossly
sexual. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he, in succession, seduces each of them. Yeah. He seduces Cher first through just boorishness.
Yep. Okay.
She just is ready to walk out, and he convinces her, like, no, you need someone like me. I'm shitty, and you need someone to just fuck with.
Yep.
So she's like, yeah, I'll fuck you. I have the power now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was going to say, Cher's a real sassy bitch. Like, she's for sure the sassy one of this group.
Sure.
And it was, like, initially very good, because it's exactly what I want real-life Cher to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cool, drunk aunt is, like, perfect Cher in my mind.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, but then, so yeah, like, I was a little worried because she does do the, like, give in to the devil and fucking, but it is kind of on her terms, mm-hmm. a little bit. Like, she's kind of whatever.
It is at first frame that way.
Yeah.
Until we see the next scene.
Yeah.
Right, it gets worse, for sure.
So isn't Updike, like, accused of writing very misogynistic literature?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that based on this movie.
This fits for sure, yeah.
Okay, sure.
It's rough.
All right, so what is this next scene?
I think there is a very generous reading of this, which I can give at the end, and I don't know if it's accurate, but anyway.
Okay. I mean,
it does kind of turn. It starts out being very misogynist, and then there's some girl power at the end, I think.
Okay.
But we'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then he moves on to Susan Sarandon, mm-hmm. and he, you know, flatters her cello playing, but convinces her to let go and be less clinical about it.
Susan Sarandon is the Ally Sheedy of this group.
Okay.
The mousy one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, literally, he tells her that her bowing is her downfall because she's not passionate enough. And literally,
what?
She plays her cello real hard and then, like, throws herself at him and her cello catches on fire.
What?
Yep.
And they fuck.
Yep.
Yeah, but cellos are expensive, guys.
Yeah. She also breaks a cello string, which is a thing that I don't know that has ever happened in the history of cellos. Like, she's bowing so fast that it just boing, and like, no.
I think the implication there is that she was too uptight.
Oh,
she was
a bit
too
on the nose,
high strung.
That's the one. That's the one.
No, there it is. Yeah. There it is. Uh-huh. Nailed it in two.
So this is I think this is a good point to bring up. This movie was made in, what, 1985, Lee, I think?
I think 87.
I was presuming, like, mid-90s, but okay.
No, yeah. But, okay, well, I mean, that would have even been worse. So I wrote down Jack Nicholson is in no way sexy or alluring by this point in his life.
Like, no, and they make that a point. That's like, we don't want a handsome man, we want an interesting man.
Okay. Oh, okay,
and
maybe
multiple characters bring that up.
Oh, man.
Okay, all right.
I should be striking gold right now, then.
See, that's my curse. I'm just too handsome.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was confused, because I thought he was supposed to be very alluring, and, like, Lee and I talked about this, he's got, like, a worse hairline than me, and, like, a little baby ponytail in the back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's just, like, such a cock, and, like, it, like, there's nothing at all appealing about him as a human, physically or emotionally, in any capacity.
Oh, wonderful.
So,
like, it's the worst. He's like a gross, fat old man with a ponytail, and it's horrible. Like,
and I know we're kind of dragging through the plot here, but I think it's just real important because this movie, you can't really break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we get then to the point where, like, Cher is bringing Michelle Pfeiffer to his house because it's like, I met this dude and he has this weird penis, but I loved it, and you're gonna meet him today.
Is this weird penis?
Literally,
yeah.
an entire conversation.
Is it like a fucking cat penis? Does it have, like, weird little hooks? Or
the description is curves the wrong way, and Michelle Pfeiffer goes, the wrong way? And then Cher does, like, a hand motion of, like, a squiggly kind of thing.
Holy shit.
So, like, a duck penis.
Oh, yeah. So it's spiral. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said that as a joke, but yeah, real life. Yeah.
So they get there, and now Susan Sarandon is basically like a pinup poster.
Okay.
And she and Cher are immediately jealous of each other, and Michelle Pfeiffer is kind of just like hanging back. And then they all get magic powers.
Yep.
Wait, what is the impetus for the magic powers?
Playing tennis and then laughing.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's what Billie Jean King did.
So they get their magic powers, and then they hang out with Jack, and Pfeiffer is like, so you're going to seduce me too? And he's like, yeah, I am. And now they're like a big fuck group family?
Yep. So that was another point I wanted to make, is they fall into this, like, polyamory relationship without ever acknowledging it, and it's in the 80s, which is, like, well before anyone was cool with that. But they're all just like, yeah, we're all at least fucking him, maybe fucking each other, unclear, probably not, but, like, it's just a thing, they never acknowledge it, it's weird, like...
So the town, like, prude that he has psychologically tortured in some way certainly accuses them of that.
Oh, yeah.
And he does voodoo on her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jack Nicholson, I presume.
Yes. Yeah, uh-huh. She ends... There's this sequence where they're all eating cherries, and every time he says, eat another cherry, we cut to her home where she's just projectile vomiting cherry pits.
What?
So this is batshit insane.
This is when the movie turns. Like, initially, it's sort of like a fun, like, oh, there's maybe like a little bit of weird magic or whatever. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, this is gonna get fucking crazy. And it sure does.
We need to point out that, like, at this point, all of the witches of Eastwick, our three main our three main actresses, have, like, unleashed some artistic side of themselves that, like, they feel very fulfilled now in their artistic pursuits, and he helped them unlock something in them.
Okay.
Yeah. And even when the townspeople are, like, calling them, like, sluts and stuff, even then they're like, eh, fuck you, like, we're having fun, we're doing what we want.
Okay, which great.
It's, like, a bit empowering, yeah. So
until...
To get to that point, the character that Lee mentioned that gets the voodoo cherry spitting has this amazing scene in church, of all places.
Oh, it's very good.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. And she just, like, so she's the obvious antagonist and, like, is the leading the pack against these presumed witches.
Sure.
Yeah. And so she's in church, and, like, it's boiled up so much that she just, like, stands up and yells, whores! Whores all around you! And everybody's like, And then, like, they drag her outside, and there's a series of words that they picked for her to say.
Oh, boy.
That, I mean, it's about 10 of them, but in direct succession, dildos, Spanish fly, and anal intercourse.
Right.
Which I just, I mean, that's like the weirdest 80s. Like, is that what 80s? They were like, what's going to shock people?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's Spanish natural fly. Progression, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I think we need to point out the, her husband in the movie is played by the dad from Step Brothers.
Yes, Daniel Stern. No, not Daniel Stern.
Not even close.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
I think his name is Richard Jenkins.
Yeah, I was pretty close.
That is also that guy name.
Well, and he, right. this is the youngest I've ever seen him in a movie, and he never looked young.
Yeah, he was fully bald in this, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, naturally.
And then he gets accused of her murder, and they never really clarify whether he actually did it or not.
Oh, I assumed like not, the Jack Nicholson devil made him do it, or
Jack Nicholson devil killed her through voodoo or some sort
I
of.
I think it
control.
Was mostly that one. Yeah.
I feel like we're mixing like pseudo satanic rituals here.
No, that's fair.
Yeah,
I only say voodoo because they make what I think the movie wants you to consider a voodoo doll later.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. To finish that church scene, she walks outside and talks to Richard Jenkins, and she's like, she like snaps out of her whatever like speaking in tongues thing, and she goes, literally says, "I have nothing against a good fuck, but there is danger here," which is very confusing, given her, like, religious proclivities and whatnot.
Veronica Cartwright is that actress's name.
She was familiar looking,
She, I really think, like, all of the main people in the movie are actually pretty fantastic, but she gives just a really amazing performance.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. She sells it very well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it never gets, in a movie that's supposed to be over the top, it's never over the top in a comical way. She's just outstanding in this movie.
Okay.
So, yeah, to move the plot along, this is when shit gets, like, real bananas. So the witches realize that, like, Jack is actually really bad for them, and they start to, like, have some infighting and whatnot, and they're like, wait, he's, like, not a good dude. And they all have, like, separate experiences with him where, like, he comes to them and is like, no, I'm good for you, blah. And they're like, nah, I don't think they, like, it's not really working. And now you're, like, hurting my life. And you sort of empowered me, but, like, now it's bad because you're misogynistic and terrible. Sure. And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And Lurch from the Addams Family movies drives you around. It's weird.
Oh.
Yeah. He is the butler for Jack. He, that's true.
Also does not speak in this movie.
No. I'm not sure that right. actor knows how to speak.
I think he's Dutch, maybe? Yeah.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Is he really tall? Yeah, he's Dutch.
He is really tall.
7'4". Yeah. Historically the tallest people, yeah.
Yep.
We're going to lose a lot of Dutch listeners on this one, I think.
All one of them, yeah.
That's generous.
Yeah, that's generous. That's a generous estimate of our international
scope.
One can hope. So they realize that he's like the devil and he's bad and he's tearing them apart because they start fighting with each other. And so they decide, like, he must be stopped, but he's very powerful. How are we going to do it? So this is when they realize, like, oh, wait, fucking, we're witches. Like, we can just do whatever, you know? And so as
also,
we...
this is also around time they've all found out that they're pregnant.
Oh, shit.
And that was one of the things that Veronica Cartwright's character was worried about, that he was going to have progeny that could take over the world.
Wait, devil spawn.
Did this woman know that Jack Nicholson was the devil, or did she just have, she like, was... inclination?
So everyone in town was under some mysterious, like, they couldn't remember his name. He was very otherworldly to them, but more like he's an exotic outsider kind of way. She the entire time has been very clear about believing that there's some evil happening.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But now she's dead.
Oh, wait, what?
In the movie. Yeah. She dies in the movie.
Wait. When? Like,
we talked about this. The cherries thing. She gets too close to the secret, and then so he kills her, yeah.
I didn't know she died there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but so then the witches decide, like, he must be stopped, and they hatch this, like, pretty cool plan where they make a voodoo doll of him, as Lee alluded to. Where is he going? He has to go somewhere.
He goes into town to buy them bagels and ice cream after they fuck real good.
Oh, yeah. They all bone down in the morning the one time, and he goes out to Lurch, and he's like, the ladies want some bagels and ice cream. And Lurch is like,
Does he say bagels like that?
No.
No, that's just how I say bagels.
Okay. How dare you? Some real good water bagels.
I want a God wicked wad of bagels and some ice cream.
Is that a Boston thing? I thought that was like a Philly thing.
Let me get them locks with the water bagels.
Yeah. Giving out slap jobs. So they all decide he's evil and they gotta kill him. So they make this like wax voodoo doll. He goes down to the ice cream shop. And this is when he's, like, ordering the ice cream when they start, like, stabbing it and doing all kinds of wacky shit to it. And this is when it gets, like, full-on Home Alone, and it's wonderful.
The magic kicks in beautifully at this point.
But what ice cream shop is open in the morning if they had a good afternoon or a morning bone down?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know what? It's also very confusing because church is happening at the same time, and I feel like this is one church town.
Yeah,
where everybody's there.
Yeah, yeah. Ice cream shops are very rarely open on Sundays where I grew up, so I don't know about any of this biz.
In Ice Creamville, USA.
Yep.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, if that's the part that you have issue with in this movie about literal the devil and witches,
that's the only part I have problems with.
Yeah. But yeah, so they all start stabbing him and shit, and he starts, like, throwing his arms up and, like, falling on the ground and, like, all the wacky shit. Like, it's, like, perfect. It's wonderful.
Uh-huh. And giant fucking torrents of wind that are not affecting anyone else blow him into a church.
Yep.
Oh.
Straight in. And he's already real fucked up at this point. Like, he's all busted and bleeding and,
And he's in pajamas the whole time, which is kind of great.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I appreciate that.
Yep. So he, this happens for a bit, and then he steals the,
the church scene is pretty amazing, because...
Oh, go ahead, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, there's, so the cherries come back, they start eating cherries, and he starts vomiting cherries all over the people in church. And then he brings up, he wants to have a discussion with them, with the church-going folk.
Right.
And he says, "Do you think that women were God's mistake? Or were they intentional? Because at least if they were a mistake, maybe we can correct it."
Yep. Yeah, so I... The first
if you didn't want to know that this movie considers this person evil.
Yeah. The first thing that popped into my mind was, as A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Because in that movie, he's being sincere, and he's playing that character and saying things that that dude would say. In this movie, he's doing the same thing to, like, 100x degree.
Right.
But it's somehow, like, way more enjoyable because, again, he's the devil. Like, his tirade is insanity. Like, the overacting is wonderful.
Oh.
It actually works, like, finally, because he's just not a real person.
Right,
you know?
Sure.
Right, when playing a cartoon, cartoonish behavior really resonates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's the tirade is unbelievable. It's like... For 5 minutes, he goes on about, like, women are the disease for men, and if we could only cure it, if we could just go to the doctor and get rid of women, we all
inoculate against it is one of the things.
It's crazy town. Yeah, it's really good.
So then this Zach was saying
awful.
Yeah. No, it's crazy and kind of fun.
Okay. It's fine because it's, like, it's fantasy. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So Zach was saying he gets in the car. And he,
with Lurch.
So Lurch was driving the car. Okay, Jack Nicholson, now like fully stabbed and whatever, gets back in the car and is like, "I gotta go home," because I don't know that he knows what's happening, but like obviously nothing good is happening.
Sure.
So he gets in the car and he's driving home, and they're still stabbing him. It's, I think, a Rolls Royce. I think it's like an old Rolls.
It was a Mercedes.
Oh yeah,
like
it was a Mercedes
real
600.
Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful car.
Really nice, huge boat of a car. And yeah, so he's driving home, and they do the wind thing again, where they blow on the voodoo doll, and the wind picks up, and it just blasts him out the back window.
Oh, shit.
And, like, he's hanging on, and then he, like, crawls back up the car and gets back.
And he's steering
in
the car with his mind. It's really good fun.
Yep, the car is staying on the road the whole time.
Okay, I mean, I enjoy this level of insanity.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, all right, this is, they took it over the top. It's good. Like, now it's fun.
Yeah, like, once you embrace a certain degree of magical realism, it's pretty spectacular.
Exactly, yeah. Uh-huh. So then I'll let you take it from here, Lee, once he gets
He gets back home, and the gals have cleaned up and are kind of playing it cool, and he starts attacking them with magic again.
Okay.
And they end up fighting him down into, with their own magic, down into the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets thrown out of the house, and he becomes a giant. He actually becomes a giant amorphous, just stretched out neck and
which,
just...
It's not clear that he had these powers, like, what...
I think he unleashed them because he needed them.
Yeah, he's the devil, Zach.
Oh yeah. Fair. Yeah.
Oh, and right. Seth, you pointed out, like, there's a scene, like, at your ideal ending where he's all burned to fuck and like a monster. When he gets back to the house, he looks all burned to fuck like a monster. It's
sure enough.
Yeah.
Oh, so I got one thing right.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like a parallel evolution where we all end up with the same ending. Where
we start at the same place and end at the same place.
Yeah, because we just really want Jack Nicholson to die in a fire.
God damn it. You're telling me. Yeah.
So now there's this giant, like, morphing monster. And, like, we looked it up. We actually didn't spot how they did this effect. But it wasn't, like, stop motion. It wasn't claymation. It was way before CGI. So it actually looks really good.
I mean, it doesn't look good by today's standards, but for 1985, like, it's amazing.
I don't know. I watched it on my TV. Like, normally when I watch something on my computer, I don't notice it.
Is it like
it looked really good.
So is it like a Nazi's face melting out, Raiders of the Lost Ark style effect, or...
That was very obviously practical. This one was like a mix of practical and something else.
It looked less in the moment. Like, so it's like Zach suggested maybe they superimpose something onto the film.
Yeah, like a 1994 Jurassic Park, like, kind of merger of both practical and pseudo CGI sort of effects, right?
Seemed like it, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So while this is going on and they're doing their best to fight him, the voodoo doll, which has been made out of wax, gets tossed up in the air.
You see where this is going.
I feel like I've somehow seen the end of this movie and not the rest of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it lands in the fire.
Yep.
And it melts.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And Zach, you gotta tell what happens.
So the giant thing lights on fire. Uh-huh. They're looking out the kitchen window that he fell out of and then grew to monumental sizes. It shrinks a bunch down to nothing, and then they, like, kind of look out the window, and then
a little deformed Cupid cherub kind of thing.
This little horrible Cupid thing with a face that, this is where the effects thing breaks down.
Yes, absolutely.
I think was supposed to be Jack Nicholson, but it was just, like, generic human something. Okay. Like, it was very bizarre. But it just, like, looks directly into the camera and goes, like...
And then it literally, with a flash of light, blinks out of existence.
Yep. Oh,
and then
it dies. Man, that is exactly our MO, though, right? Somebody looking directly into the camera?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's a nice and clean ending. It's like, well, it doesn't make any fucking sense, but that wraps it up, I guess.
Okay. Well, and then they flash forward to, I think it's 18 months later. They all live in the house now with Lurch, and they've all had additional sons.
Oh.
Yep.
Mm.
And they still have their magic, but they've kind of banished him away, and he shows up on the TVs talking to the little sons.
Yep.
Hey, boys, listen to me. We're going to be okay. And then...
Hey, that's not a bad Jack. All right.
Yeah. And then they have a giant remote, and he's like, ladies, please, can't we be civil? And then, you know, they turn him off, and as the TVs turn off, the movie ends.
Oh, okay. Hmm. I understand.
So, to sum it up, like, that was insanity, but, like, man, it's a fun movie. Like, it's genuinely a fun movie. Hmm. It wasn't bad.
So, and I gotta say, like, George Miller has always been a really good director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you seen, like, Mad Max 2?
That's the best one of those movies.
Oh, am I thinking one? One was the super low budget one, I guess.
Yeah, one was super low budget. Three is a train wreck. Two is really great. And obviously Fury Road is a classic.
Fury Road's amazing, yeah. All right, so I'm thinking, like, one and three then, but... I mean, those are early. I'll give him a pass on that,
so
I guess.
So should I watch this movie?
Like, yes, absolutely. 100%.
Thus far in this entire podcast, I have not wanted to watch any of the movies that I haven't been forced to watch.
You didn't watch Get Over It?
Ah, yeah, that's crazy. Oh, man, that was an oversight. Yep.
Nope, stand by that decision. Don't.
Fuck you guys.
This is actually like a...
This one again, is fun?
The beginning is like, like the first half is,
There's a lot of share, which is great. The first half is like a really enjoyable, like, piece of just quiet acting, I guess, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first half sets it up to be like an okay movie, and then as long as you're okay with, like, full insanity, the second half is super good.
Hey, that's my bread and butter, son.
Yeah. I would definitely watch this. It's fun.
So, like, I was talking about this before we started recording. It's almost like it's a sex positive message wrapped up in a very misogynistic blanket, kind of.
Oh, yeah. That's
because
interesting.
It feels like the best they could do in the 80s for sex positivity.
A lot of it is on the terms of the female characters, and they do win in the end, and they have their artistic and sexual fulfillment. But also, Jack Nicholson is just like a devil that tricks women into having sex with him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so he is slimy and terrible, but he's in no way redeemable. Like, he is literally the devil. So, like, they're sending the right message in that regard.
Yeah, we're not trying... Yeah, the movie does not try to get us to root for him.
Oh, well,
yeah,
that's absolutely refreshing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I got... No, I'm just gonna say it again. A little, like, tidbit that I just really enjoyed. After each of them has sex with Jack Nicholson, their hair gets much more curly and far more voluminous.
That does happen, yeah.
So it becomes more 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Cher is a fucking treasure in this movie. Sarandon is at her goofy best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never seen Susan Sarandon have this much fun in a movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Rocky Horror, maybe, but yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I don't like that movie, but you're probably right about that.
But she plays a prude in that, too, to be fair, so, yeah.
Well, and Michelle Pfeiffer, I think, is just always a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, there's something about... She has star quality
we
that
get
is
it.
Always
you
there.
You like Grease 2 a bunch. God damn it.
Yeah, we know.
God damn it.
Do you think that she considered Jack Nicholson's character in this movie a cool rider?
I hate you so much.
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about anymore because I haven't watched that bullshit movie. So
we're definitely going to do a bonus episode where I talk about Grease 2, right?
And me and Seth just like have a conversation on the side. Sure, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, sounds great. Wink.
I think we need to do favorite. I think we need to do ratings.
Yeah. We're going long today, so
yeah, we are going very long. That's true.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Lee.
So, Seth's movie, I think is a very solid 6.5. Seeing it actually realized might be make me feel a little better about it, just because I think it's got a great cast and a pretty. It's got a smart story, but it doesn't have the craziness that the actual movie has.
Yeah, I mean, the abstract craziness is not there, and I recognize that. It's a flaw.
And you know with me, that's always going to win the day.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, I think yours is 6.5, barring actually seeing it. I think it could go way higher.
Mm-hmm.
Actual Witches of Eastwick, I don't think is necessarily, like, a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking crazy, and it's just a joy to watch these performances.
Okay.
I gotta give it like a 7.5.
Okay.
So I just looked it up on IMDb. IMDb score for Real Witches is 6.5. So,
so you're right on point.
Yep. I mean, as a fellow science person, I do like Seth's version. I think it has all the trappings of
humanities for life.
Boo.
I can't say boo because I'm half in that. So.
Yeah, I know. You straddle for sure.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really like the premise. Again, like, it's tough not having, like, seen the thing, but I'm really into it. I'm going to go, like, 7.5 on yours for sure.
Great.
Real Witches, I think... I'm tempted to go like a 6.5 with the crowd, but in the context of the 80s when movies were like genuinely bad, I think, like, I'm gonna put that one at a 7.5 too.
Oh,
like, of the 80s movies I've seen, this is like far and away one of the better ones in terms of like holds up a bit and sort of isn't a nightmare and is also entertaining. Yeah. So 7.5 for both.
All right, solid.
Yeah, it's a gorgeously shot movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So it got a lot of really fun
craziness.
It got nominated for several awards. I think 2 Oscars, both for sound.
Yeah, so. John Williams scored the movie, and I know he got nominated for it.
Well,
yeah,
John Williams is a treasure. So
famously a treasure, yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like it was kind of a push.
Yeah.
What? I mean, I did the same. You did Seth's was better, so Seth.
I did regular was better, but
yeah. You know, oh shit! Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I was gonna give Seth the benefit of the doubt.
Oof, yeah. Not in keeping with our aesthetic, but okay.
It's because, and we can say categorically, Lee hates science.
Ah yes, yep, there it is.
But
yes.
I love space, so it's a weird line that I walk.
Yeah, maybe if I had inventors in on Mars, you would have been like, oh no, 8.5. Ooh. My name's Lee.
Seth, tell me more about this Martian epic fantasy. Oh, that you're God damn
it! It's a bonus ep. It's a bonus ep.
Oh God, share with like. Martian queen attire
oh,
on?
Oh, shit.
Cher as the Lord of Mars?
Yeah,
oh,
like, Alita, Queen of Mars, if we did, like, one of those old, I believe it's Soviet stories, where we sure. have a Queen of Mars. Oh, man.
Oof. All right. Well, yeah.
So, I think, tell us about next time, Zach.
Yeah.
So, next time, I think we're going to have our buddy Kev come on. So we're going to have Kev come on and do Smokey and the Bandit, allegedly a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Eastbound and down.
Uh-huh, allegedly.
Loaded up and trucking.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that should be good. Yeah, so I guess that's it for us.
Yeah, until then, Seth almost always does it better.
Let's say always.
Do
Let's
you
say
believe in life after love?
Yep.
I can feel something inside me say.
Yep.
Really don't think
it's strong enough.
Gypsies, tramps, and thieves.